If you don't approach your work in the fitness industry, it is likely to chew you up and spit you out. The lifespan of a personal trainer in this industry is less than 6 months because the hours are long, the work is very emotionally draining, you work early mornings, nights, weekends, and it's really hard to actually make money in this industry. And all of that is a recipe for burnout. So if you don't take a methodical and tactical approach to your lifestyle and the approach that you take in this industry, you are very likely to burn out. I'm going to teach you a few tricks to avoid burnout and make sure that you can last longer than your competitors in this industry. So I'll never forget one of my first employees ever. He's been with me for about 10 years and we've done a lot of great work together. But very early on, he went and took an internship with a local Division I strength conditioning program. And it was kind of like a group orientation that they did where the strength coach basically gave this rah-rah speech about what it takes to make it in strength conditioning and collegiate sports and, you know, why all of you guys are not going to be successful. And he basically said, the way to make money and be successful in fitness is for who can stay broke the longest. If you have a girlfriend, dump her. She's going to leave you anyway. All of these horrible things about the fitness industry. And all of this really came out to who can fight burning out in this industry the longest. Now, some people believe that burnout is a medically recognized diagnosis. There's a lot of controversy out there, but if you want to be successful in fitness, you have to structure your entire life around the role in the profession that you've decided to join. The hours are long, the work is emotionally draining, and I'm going to give you 3 tips to incorporate into your life that can help you avoid burnout and lead a long and fulfilling career. So the first tip, I'm going to give you a little background for. So I have a tattoo of a Wi-Fi symbol on my arm, and it's one of the most asked about tattoos that I have. And the reason I have it is because it's a reminder that our job is to be a strong source of connection and energy for our clients. People don't join your gym for the nuts and bolts of the workout and the specific amount of sets and reps that you're doing or the modalities that you're performing. They're joining your program and working with you over all the others because they want to tap into your energy source. The same way people don't go to Starbucks to do work because they love the coffee, because Starbucks has strong Wi-Fi and they can get their work done faster and be more productive. It's the same reason they're coming to your gym is to connect to your Wi-Fi, to do better work and leave feeling more energized. So what does that have to do with burnout? When every single client is coming here to suck the energy and life force out of you and take it out the door and for their own good, you need to make sure that you are staying fully charged. And what I mean by that is you want to make sure you're structuring your whole lifestyle outside of work to be conducive for you to show up fully charged and ready to rock so that you do have energy to give to the other people. And there's 3 things that you can do to stay fully charged and bring your best to work. The first one is your sleep schedule. So you have to be maximizing your sleep and take sleep really, really seriously. So young trainers or people maybe in college, fresh out of college, you can get away with maybe drinking alcohol at night and the effects that it has on your sleep. Maybe be able to afford going to bed really late and just having those like 3-4 hour nights of sleep. But as you get older, and I'm not a doctor, but something happens in your body that makes you much more sensitive to poor sleep. And over a long period of time, a lack of sleep will ruin you in the fitness career. Your performance is going to suffer and you're just not going to have a lot to give other people, especially your clients. So making sure that you are taking sleep incredibly seriously. Now you should see me when I go to sleep. I take my sleep incredibly seriously with, you know, blackout shades and the perfect temperature and mouth tape and nasal dilators, all of the gadgets to make sure that I can get a very high quality night's sleep, because I know if my sleep is off, everything about my work is going to be off. Now, 2 is going to be your training. Now, a lot of us got into fitness because we were passionate about our own workouts, but you have to understand that when your job is to provide energy and to provide a life force to other people in the form of connection and energy, you have to make sure that you've got enough. Years ago, I used to compete in powerlifting and strongman, and it would just wreck my body. So I would do 2-3 hour training sessions where I'm hitting PRs every week following Westside or the Cube method. And I would have very little else to give anybody else because I was sore all the time. It affected my sleep. It affected my total energy. I was thinking so much about what I had to eat, what I had to do to prepare for the training. It just absorbed so much more of my mental bandwidth. It took so much away from my clients. So I had to change my training style to bring more to my clients at work and really just to be more focused and get more done. You know, it's amazing what this understanding of an allostatic load can do for you. And an allostatic load is essentially the amount of global stress that you're under. And that can be psychological stress, that could be physical stress from your workout, that could be stress from your digestive system, from eating badly or drinking too much alcohol. Understanding and managing that allostatic load can really help you get more work done, be more focused, and bring more to the training that you're giving to your clients. So making sure that you're adjusting your training is critical to rejuvenating from the workday and making sure that you've got the most to give. And the last training tip that I have for you guys is no bodybuilding. If you want to be serious in the fitness industry, I've seen a lot of people hit a level of burnout really fast when they were preparing for a bodybuilding competition. The amount of stress and focus and limited calories that you have to ingest while trying to manage difficult personalities and emotional work with the clients that you're dealing with is way too much to be ultimately successful in both worlds. So I've seen a lot of people either choose bodybuilding and let their fitness career flame out or let their bodybuilding dreams dissipate so that they can go all in on being the best trainer and coach and fitness professional that they could be. So understand that bodybuilding is one of the hardest physical sports that you can be in if you want a career in the fitness industry. Number two, if you want to beat burnout, is to put constraints on your day. So years ago, I worked with a mentor named Michael Hyatt. He's wrote a million best-selling books on productivity and leading great companies. And one of the key tenets that he has to do with what's called the Parkinson's Law. And Parkinson's Law states that your work will expand to fill the time given to completion. And what he means by that is if you don't put hard constraints and boundaries on the times that you operate, you will get the same amount of work done in more time. If I let myself work 24 hours a day, I will probably get the same amount of work done as if I say I'm done at 6 p.m. every single day. And the reason for that is subconsciously, we really just let ourselves work up to the point of our constraints. So if we put a constraint on our day, we don't even realize this is happening, but we act more urgently, we act with more intention, and we work faster than if we didn't put a constraint on, because whether we know it or realize it or not, we operate to fill the time given to completion. And I've seen this law operate in real time when I've opened up 5 additional gyms in just about a year, and I've never worked past 6 p.m. I've been able to add 5 additional fitness locations that I personally own to my work schedule without adding a single hour to my workday. More work doesn't take more time. It takes more intention and focus. And it's only when you put constraints on your day that you will realize that you can get a lot more done in less time just by having the discipline to put those constraints on your day. So take that into account. Set hard boundaries for when you're going to work and when you're not. The only time that people really, you know, get flustered about this is in the sales world where they feel like they need to be on call 24 hours a day. And the truth is you don't. You don't have to respond to leads at 10 p.m. You don't have to respond to leads the second they come in. There is an understanding in the world that if you can't take a call in this very moment, it's okay. And it's going to be okay. As long as you lead with intentionality and maybe explain why you didn't take a call, people are pretty understanding about you having boundaries in your life. One example of this is if you ever send me an email, I have split custody of my daughter. And on the days that I have my daughter, I make a point to put in the subject of my email that if today is Thursday, there's a really good chance I'm not going to respond to this email because I try to spend time with my daughter. And I get more of a positive response from that than I ever could by being anal about responding to my emails the second that they come in. Not only are you gonna get more work done, you're also gonna be the person that you wanna be outside of work, and you're gonna get the respect of the people that are trying to get your attention. So putting constraints on your day has a ton of benefits. The key one here is you're going to get more work done in less time. And finally, let's talk about the soft stuff. So the soft stuff like gratitude journaling, meditation, and really just journaling in general. So I have been a steady meditator for the last 5 years, and the impact that it's had on my life and avoiding overwhelm and burnout has been astronomical. I do a 10-minute meditation every single day. I'm not somebody for like some long drawn out morning routine and, you know, miracle morning type thing, but not only helps me get into the right mindset to approach my day, but it's a habit that trains my brain to handle all of the chaos that comes my way, right? And the thing about meditation is the worse you are at it, the better it is for you. And the more you feel like your brain runs loose and you lose focus and you have to wrangle yourself back in, it's just like if you're really out of shape, it's how much more the gym is doing for you. The more you get out of breath, the more your muscles burn during your workout, the better it's doing for your body. So understand that the worse you are at meditation, it's actually doing a lot more than if you were really good at it. Meditation is one aspect. For beginners, using apps like Calm or Headspace is a really good place to start for like a 5 to 10 minute meditation every day. They say that there's a law of diminishing return for meditation that starts at about 11 minutes. So if you can hit 11 minutes, that is pretty much all you need to get the most juice out of daily meditation. Up next is gratitude journaling. There is a ton of research about gratitude journaling. I don't know what it does. I'm not a gratitude journal researcher, but I do make a point to put myself into a positive focus by thinking about what I'm grateful for. Now, it's really easy with gratitude to get like too fluffy and soft because, you know, you feel like you have to say, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for the sunny day outside or some bullshit. Try to make this real. And like, try to make this something that you are truly grateful for and not just what you feel like you should be saying. You know, whatever that means to you, gratitude journaling has proven a million times over through real research, not fake science, that it's really good for your brain and keeping you in a positive state and helping you with decision making and avoiding burnout. Now, the last one having to do with journaling in general is the fastest way to beat overwhelm is to use pen and paper. The reason being is our brains are not meant for storage. So if you aren't taking pen to paper and getting everything out of your brain and on paper, you will just start to get this cluttered, overwhelmed mind that is all over the place. The reason for this is because of what are called open loops. So your brain, when something pops up and you just keep it in there as a running thought loop, that open loop is going to constantly drain your focus and bandwidth. The only way to close that loop is to put pen to paper and put an action to close that loop. So no matter what it is, at least once a week, you want to take what's called a clarity break. And what that is you take time, 30 minutes on the clock, and you just put pen to paper and vomit out everything that is circling around in your brain, put it onto paper. No judgment, don't second guess your thoughts. You just want to set a timer and write down everything that comes to mind on a piece of paper and then let it sort itself out. There was a really great analogy in the Matthew McConaughey book where he talks about this practice. And he basically says it feels like when thoughts are in your mind, it's like they're stacking up on top of each other. And when something gets stacked too tall, it starts to wobble and feels really unstable. When you start to put these things on paper, it's like you're laying each thing down one by one in front of you so you can see everything ahead of you and take it one by one. This is the same thing that I feel whenever I use a journal or just a scrap piece of paper and do this brain dump technique. So I can organize my thoughts and delete half of it, because half of it's nonsense, go through the process of figuring out what's urgent, what's important, what can be delegated, and what can be delayed. Using these three tactics by adjusting your life outside of here, by managing your sleep, your nutrition, and your training, by doing the soft stuff like meditation, gratitude, and journaling, and finally, by putting more constraints on your time and living with that idea of Parkinson's Law, you will be able to navigate your career in the fitness industry without all of the overwhelm and burnout that puts most trainers in the personal trainer graveyard.